This story from the Child Abuse Royal Commission contains details you may find disturbing. A public hearing in Sydney has heard harrowing evidence of children who were sexually abused in state care as recently as last year. And in some cases, children were the perpetrators rather than the caregivers. But even when the abuse was reported, the procedures in place to support some of the children failed. Thomas Ariti reports.
Child protection authorities have assured the Royal Commission that they have the checks and balances to ensure children are safe. But it seems more should be done. At today's public hearing, Senior Counsel Gail Finesse referred to a woman known as Monica, who gave evidence in a private session. Last year, her son Norris was placed in a facility for children with special needs. It wasn't long before he tried to escape.
Monica said that no one at the facility had ever talked to her son about the reason he was running away and just made the assumption that he wanted to go back home to his mother. Eventually, Norris told Monica that an older boy at the centre had sexually abused him. The authorities generally dismissed Norris's allegations of abuse until the other boy confessed the crime. It was only then Monica told the Royal Commission that the department acknowledged that something had happened and started providing counselling to Norris.
The state or territory has been kept confidential. Authorities there forced Monica to return her son to the same facility where he'd been abused.
He begged her for him not to go. Monica feels extremely low and disgusted in herself for not being able to protect her son and agreeing to send Norris back to the place where he was abused.
Many now consider child-to-child sexual abuse to be the primary cause of abuse in out-of-home care. But that's not to say adults aren't to blame. Gail Finesse spoke about three children who were living with their grandparents in Victoria. They had to leave home because of their mother's struggle with drugs, but also due to the behaviour of one of the child's fathers, known as Robert.
All children displayed sexualised behaviours towards each other. There were fragments of disclosures they made about Robert. The children partially disclosed that Robert had exposed them to pornography. The caseworker assessed that there was a high likelihood that all the children had been sexually abused.
These experiences aren't unusual. Marie Walk from the New South Wales Department of Family and Community Services was asked about the state's Joint Investigation Response Teams, or JIRTs, which investigate child protection matters.
There are some now nearly 5,000 reports that the JIRT receives per annum in New South Wales.
The 5,000 you refer to is reports of physical harm, neglect, abuse of a range of types, including sexual abuse.
Correct.
Even when a child comes forward with an allegation, there's no agreed way to handle it, and the legal obligations to report abuse depend on where you are. In Queensland, for example, a relative looking after a child isn't legally required to report abuse, nor are they necessarily given any training. Kathy Taylor is from the state's Department of Communities, Child Safety and Disability Services. She was asked about training.
It's available to kinship carers, and kinship carers are encouraged to participate.
Why are they not required to do it?
That's certainly one of the areas that we've obviously looked at.
Kathy Taylor was also asked why her department doesn't always record the date of an alleged offence and only the date the report was made.
The date of the offence would be highly relevant to whether the child was in immediate need of protection, wouldn't it?
It's certainly relevant to whether they've, you know, experienced harm and whether they're a child in need of protection, absolutely.
Non-government care providers were also asked to give evidence at today's hearing, and MacKillop Family Services was asked to provide its data about allegations of abuse over the last 10 years. CEO Michaela Cronin admitted that it wasn't entirely accurate.
How reliable do I think it is? I think that you can draw trends from it, that it's useful in terms of identifying that. I think there are gaps in the data.
Marie Walk in New South Wales also conceded there were shortcomings with the department's database. And in Victoria, the system isn't linked with the education department's records of abuse in schools. There's work underway to fix that. But it raises serious questions about the need for a nationally consistent approach. Gail Finesse told the hearing there'd been a mixed response to the proposal from government departments. They'd said coordinating the system across the country would take considerable action and commitment. That's expected to be discussed further in the coming days.
Tom Ariti.